Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We are live on VFN Radio. We just found out our producer's signing us and saying, we are on. Oh my goodness, how exciting. We were so intrigued in listening to Dr. King's speech. We were just intrigued by that, and here we are, you know, 50 years later, as we're coming into the season and celebrating it. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio, and joining me is Pat and John. And you're wondering why it took us a moment to kind of come on the air. It was because of I just love to hear Dr. King give that speech. Mm. And if you don't know it, 50 years ago in this season, back in 1963, Dr. King went to the mall as an invited speaker. Mm-hmm. And showed up, they didn't realize that they invited David to come. You know, Saul didn't realize they invited David to go speak.
I know, that's right.
And they didn't realize, you know, that he didn't write this just for them, because this was part of him. This was inside of him. And it is amazing when you hear the speech. It's just a beautiful thing. And so many people have taken these words. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what they've done to them, but these are the most beautiful words in his ministry. And I see him as an apostle.
Yeah.
You know, I see him as an apostle that led a nation to what's written on the paper. You know?
That's right.
I'm just trying to help you realize your dreams that you wrote about a few years ago. I'm just holding you to what's on the paper. And when I was looking at this article with USA Today, I'm talking about Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., when he was invited in 1963 to come speak at a gathering that was taking place right there. All the nation was leaning forward. All the channels began to take on and focus their attention there. And he was a guest speaker that's going to be speaking on August the 28th. August the 28th of 1963. And in that moment, you know, and I just want to encourage you that allow God to do a work in you. Allow a season of proofing. Allow God to hone you and shape you for an instrument. I mean, how can the potter, how can the clay say to the potter, why is it taking you so long to make me this way? And I was pretty good before you broke me to pieces and began to make me back again. But this is a man that's been broken and has been amongst the broken people that God began to formulate and put together, starting from Ebenezer Church in Georgia, raised by Daddy King. You know, a man of God. And we had a privilege of having somebody write an article for us, who walked with Daddy King as well in Atlanta. And God just molded him. Hmm. He's just a man. You think about Elijah. Elijah was just a man. That's the whole thing. Everybody's looking for, you know, some Messiah. The Messiah has already come already. And next time he comes, it's too late if you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life. Mm-hmm. But now the Messiah, if you will accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, he will come dwell with you. And just like Dr. King, you can walk through huge adversity and begin to stand up for what's right. I mean, it's like 50 years ago, August the 28th, 1963, that Dr. King was giving his I Got a Dream speech. Amazing when you think about it. I believe the Freedom Riders had already began or about to begin to ride, and just horrific things are taking place. You can imagine the threat.
A continual threat. I mean, you have your house that's being, you know, bombs, I guess, were thrown into his home, and the attacks. You're talking about speaking truth to power. I mean, yeah. It's a great courage during a time like that.
Well, and the NSA, they talk about NSA today. Well, he had his own personal NSA attacking him and documenting everything. And recording everything he was doing. And a lot of people say, well, you know, this happened, that happened. Hey, if you got everybody trying to set you up, there's a chance you might trip.
Hello.
There's a chance you might trip. And in that, you have to consider everything. And this man, I mean, I just can't help it. In my spirit, you know, I've always felt, you know, and his niece, you know, Pastor Avita King, Reverend Avita King. You know, and sometimes, you know, you watch and you think and, you know, and people say, well, you know, if you just would have, and it's like, yeah, I know, but all I can tell you is in my spirit, I look forward to the day that I get to meet with Dr. King and just listen to him and talk to him and just, right. You know, the evilness of taking his life. And so many people said, well, it's over because LBJ signed something. It's like, you know, it's not over. It isn't over when you kill the leader of, when you kill an apostle, you know, it's not over. You know, it's just a momentary pause until we can get things going in the right direction. And normally what happens is, you know, a lot of the adversaries and people who will have other motives, who saw how God lifted someone up and how God protected someone and how they got the voice of the nation, they begin to ride on the coattails of those who paid the price.
Right.
But this man paid the price.
Sure did. Right.
It's different when your face is on the poster or the mugshot. Mm. You know, it's different. And all you can do when those folks show up is just go, is there something I can get for you?
Right.
Yeah.
Let me get out of my chair, you know, and just kind of lean forward and say, can I just listen to you for a little bit to see? I mean, just think about it. And I hear a lot of people, it's like, don't you understand? This is for our country, for our nation, for the twistedness of one-fifth of a person and how we justified for so long going against our very own Declaration of Independence and Constitution that very said that you know, all of our rights come from God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were all created equal. And yet we walked out a contradiction that was ridiculous until, you know, somebody said, you know, I'm just tired. I'm not going to sit in the back of the, do you know how, this is back today, they have air conditioned buses and they don't have these diesel engines blowing smoke all over the place. But back then all the windows were open. And if you sat in the back of the bus, you pretty well got the congested failure of all the things blowing in all the windows. And it's just, you know, and somebody decides to bloom a rose on the front seat of the bus. Mm. Rosa Parks.
That's right.
Who just got a statue recently put in the White House, which I think is so cool. There's so many contradictions to think. This is like so many cool things are taking place. At the same time, so many what? He's right. Like, but you don't I mean, realize, you know, when you're watching, don't just throw everything out. Realize I see a scale being balanced. I see a just God beginning to do some things that are beautiful, but I also see people trying to ride the coattails of those who truly labored and worked and meant what they said what they meant and walked out what they said. And in their day-to-day life, they lived amongst the words that they proclaimed, willing to die for their words, willing to die for their words.
Yeah, you can't mimic an original. And what Dr. King did was all about unity and bringing people together. And you see some people that are trying to take his legacy and make it about division and separating people. And that wasn't Dr. King's vision, to be able to bring
it wasn't his vision, and what he was saying wasn't true. But nobody's going to go out and speak a word that they laid on their life for. I mean, you know, if I'm going to die for this, if I'm willing to die for this message,
that's right.
Guaranteed, I studied my notes. Mm. I looked at the precepts.
Yeah.
I thought about what I was saying.
I've counted the costs.
And I'm not going to bring up your vision. Mm. I'm going to bring up the vision God's put in my heart. If I'm going to die for this,
hello.
I'm going to make sure, because I'm going to go see God. If this cost me my life, and every day he knew it could cost him his life. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single day, there was enough people lined up to be able to take his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think that he did not mean what he said, and all these people trying to underwrite and subtitle his, it's like, you can't subtitle another man's life. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm. I mean, he was not speaking just a sporadic dream. I mean, look, I mean, he's clear. Yeah. He's clear. The spoken word, he spoke out his dream. You know, and I just admire him, and I'm disheartened that he didn't continue to walk with us here, but I'm excited about walking with him in eternity.
No doubt. No doubt. When you look at everything that he's done, when you look at throughout history, I mean, this is a man that now he has building this huge, awesome monument to him. I believe it's on the Washington Mall. And someone inscribed, they put a quote on the side of this monument. It's huge. I don't know the exact dimensions, but it's really, really nice. They put some quote on there that was not something he said, and it just did not sound like Dr. King. It just kind of actually sounded proud, you know, a prideful statement.
Mm-hmm.
And some people got together and said, listen, this is not what Dr. King would have said of himself. So I'm a drumbeat for something. And they're actually scraping it off now.
Off.
Yeah, I mean, they're redoing it because it wasn't honoring of him. It wasn't indicative of the type of man that he was.
Wow, somebody took advantage.
Exactly.
But, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's happening. And you were saying something earlier in the beginning of this segment that I think is so important. It's like, you know, you were saying that I just wanted to be in his presence and just listen to, you know, his heart. But what's missing a lot in this generation is that they don't know how to honor greatness. They don't recognize when you're in the presence of somebody that's great, that's
right.
Paid the price for something. You don't do a lot of talking. You go, shh, just listen right now.
Yeah.
You know, this person has paid the price. This person has been willing to lay their life down. And that's what we can do with honor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's great that our nation is recognizing Dr. King. But we need to stay true to his vision and stay true to what the Lord gave him. And
what we believe the Lord has given him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you think about it. I mean, up until that point, you're looking at great, great persecution, great injustices, and it took someone to be able to stand up, do the right thing, and lead a people towards unity, not towards division. And at any moment, this thing could have been lost. I mean, this was a patient, patient move. They had strategy. They had planned. I mean, they had commitment cards that they had to fill out, which was, you know, they pledged that they weren't going to respond back in violence. This was a peaceful way to do this.
If you wanted to be able to walk with Dr. King, and you think about it, too, that, you know, we're talking about the mall and what happened there in the context of that. So many people, and you just wanted to, because it's such a moment, and you know, it was obviously an orchestrated moment by God to a nation. But this message was already inside of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had this dream. That's what drove him. It's time to get a dream for a nation, like Dr. King talks about, like the pledge card that John was talking about, and what we've talked about on VFN Radio, which basically mm-hmm. has. The 10 commitments of a believer, really, to be able to walk amongst each other in this nation and stand up for what's right. But in 1963, August the 28th, here we are just talking about, as we're coming to the 50 years, it's like the jubilee of this. When you think about it, 50 years later, where many felt threatened by Dr. King being there. And today, there's an African-American president in the White House up the street from the mall. Instead of standing in the mall saying, I have a dream,
mm-hmm.
the dream in some context of that, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge having an African-American president in the context of what he was saying there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can say part of that dream is that America made a decision. And in America, you know, all races had to make the decision to put him there. There's not enough African American people in America that could have voted to put him there, which means, you know, many people of all races voted to vote the current president into office there. And there's many things you can think, a lot of things about politics, and read your Bible. You can see a lot of different kings that went a lot of different ways, but you can't negate the fact that he's the first African American president. It is 50 years. Got 50 years. There's the number of jubilee. I mean, let's just kind of tap in and listen here, and you're gonna be able to see this on the VFN Torch. But I want you to hear Dr. King giving the speech as the whole mall is just filled with people who showed up for one thing and found out they found a God thing. Listen up.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is a faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are church groups allowed to pass out literature in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am a leader in our Awana program at our local church here. We're wanting to take flyers for like a kickoff carnival that we're wanting to have, which will be held at our church, and it'll be promoting the Awana program, which is a children's program in the church. We're wanting to pass out flyers actually in the schools.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. Let me ask you this. Does the school district allow flyers to be handed out by off-campus organizations?
From what I understand so far, they do.
If they do, then they should not be denying the same rights to the church to distribute the material. And if they're using religion or religious content as a reason for exempting it or for not allowing it to take place, that would be violating a number of Supreme Court decisions. But again, if they allow material to be distributed, they cannot make an exemption or exception for religious material as long as that material is being distributed in the same manner as the other organizations distribute theirs.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week. We get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you could have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org, request your plan, it'll be sent to you immediately in your email, iabide.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is John and Pat. We were talking about and just beginning just to soak on what happened 50 years ago, August 28th. Mm-hmm. And when Dr. King, if you missed it, we just heard part of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, which we refer to as I Have a Dream speech. But you have to understand the context, because he's talking about, and that Alabama where the evil, and it's like, why would he say that? Well, I gotta tell you, let me tell you why he said that. There was a governor that was elected 7 months prior to that, in January the 14th, 1963. And he was a deep racist. He is actually considered, and according to Wikipedia, as you're sitting here reading, that he served two consecutive terms, and he's the longest, they say Wallace was the third longest governor-tenured post-constitutional U.S. days served in history, 5,848 days. We let this man rule as a governor of Alabama. And so when Dr. King's talking about Alabama, I mean, it was pretty, I mean, and then he talks about Mississippi.
Oh.
You have to understand, he is confronting from the capital of the nation, from the gates of America, the gates of the city, the gates of the nation. And he's saying, this is my dream. And he begins to talk about, you know, this is the beginning of his electoral span of Wallace, who was openly blocking anybody of color from coming into the
education.
Well, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And I mean, it's just the devil had a hold of this man. And say what you want to, the devil had a hold of this man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, but yet, when Dr. King is speaking in Washington, he is speaking out towards Alabama 7 months later after his election, and this guy was so adamant that he would just publicly say, this is which way this state is going, and this is what we're actually doing. And Dr. King saying, listen, it's written. He says, this is my dream. My dream is deeply rooted in the American dream. First of all, we should understand that when you have people like George Wallace doing what he was doing, that is not the American dream. That was George Wallace's dream.
Right.
And if we'll read the Declaration of Independence, if we'll read the United States Constitution, like Dr. King was talking about, he was quoting from the original Founding Fathers documents, and he's saying, listen, this is the dream. My dream is deeply rooted in the American dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, mind you, and the pursuit of happiness. Dr. King was on the right side of history. He was on the right side with God, and he was on the right side of the American dream. George Wallace and the crew that was doing the things that we may talk about a little bit later, they were on the devil's side.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually not in the American, that's not the American dream. That's the American nightmare. That's the scars of our history that fought against the realities of the dream of our founding fathers when they wrote this document, the Declaration of Independence, when they write into the king. They said, listen, we don't want this kind of stuff. And then things progressed over time. But they just kept reelecting and reelecting and reelecting. And we have to understand, when we're celebrating 50 years later with Dr. King, that if we allowed somebody like George Wallace to stay in office for 5,848 days in the office with that kind of mindset, with the context of Dr. King's life being taken in Tennessee, with Robert Kennedy's life and John Kennedy's life being taken in the 60s because they're standing up. Let me tell you something. Forgive me if I'm a little squeamish, if I'm a person of color. I don't believe everything until I see. I want to see you walk this out. And if we are equal, what's the big deal about me being your boss?
Mm-hmm.
Or me being your president? Or me being your governor? Or me being your sheriff? It's not a big deal. We're all the same. We're all created. I'm talking about Christians. Hey, listen, we're all created in the same image and the likeness of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the symbolism, despite the policies of our current president and the values that seem to be kind of strange and dark in regards to things of God, you got to go back in regards to look what the justice that was served. When he rode that train, the same train that Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, rode all the way from Illinois to the White House, my goodness, don't you understand? He's talking about the Emancipation Proclamation. He's talking about what was signed and what he fought for and the executive order that was put into place. When he goes down to Mississippi and he goes to the university and he says, this is what I want to be a part of my acceptance into the presidency, there's something happening there. Why? Because that's where Medgar Evers was beaten, brutalized, and just because of the color of his skin, like Dr. King was talking about. You got to be careful, because it looks like to me that in so many ways, justice is being served on America. Justice is being served. Remember this. Nebuchadnezzar was God's servant. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Nebuchadnezzar became the boss, the leader over God's people, is because of what God's people did. But he was designed by God to be in a place to serve a role in the eternity of God for God's purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but just see, and it's just amazing how blind. I was listening to somebody talk about, you know, Jeremiah. And then when a nation can no longer see, when a church, God's people can no longer see and they can no longer hear, brace yourself, it's going to be bad.
Hmm.
And it's like, can't you see? Can't you see the fulfillment of so much injustice that's been taking place? Coming back to the scales are being balanced and the area is like, okay, let's walk this thing out. And then somebody says, well, this person's so dogmatic. Well, excuse me, if I wouldn't have spoke up, I could have been like Medgar Evers. But then again, you got people prostituting the horrific incident that took place with Mr. Evers in Mississippi and comparing it to something that is nothing. And this man, you know, bless his, I can only imagine how God is obtaining all of this and, you know, in receiving on this nation.
Mm.
But if anything, church, we should be walking in humility. I'm seeing things posted on Facebook and different things like this, and you know, it says John 3:16 when it talks about the person, you know, and then Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Mm.
And then because of all the laziness and the lethargicness and the refusal to look at our history, you speak out as if you say you know our history when you don't know our history. And our history, 80% of this pie called the life of America, it's been repressive to the African American person. And the people, when you talk about the Civil Rights Act, that just happened. Mm-hmm. It just happened. And it happened because of pain. It didn't happen because, hey, we've come to this reality, this revelation that we have, you know, it's just like, hey, we're being forced to do what's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. And all of a sudden, people start moving and what's right. And they go, look what we did. It's like, no, look what people had to force you to do. Look, people had to see. They had to see on the videos. They had to see. You know, Medgar Evers' mother say, you know what? I want people to see what was done.
Right.
I want people to see what was done. I want them, when they had to see, America had to see what was being done to the injustices with the water hose spraying human beings with dogs at our fellow citizens. And when they saw these things, that's when they begin to see. And this is what happens. You can be all whatever you want to be, what you want to, but God's going to, you know, the light's going to shine on that puppy. The light's going to shine on it, and a day of justice is going to come. And when it comes, really, all you can do is just say, this is right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can say, this is right. And there would be a huge injustice, and we just got to humble ourselves as the church, every one of us, you know, and the church is a bouquet of beautiful, all multicolor, multiracial. I mean, it's all of us. Anybody that makes Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, and then he makes us a new nation, a new ethnos in Christ, which, by the way, Jesus Christ is not a white man.
Right.
He's a Jew. And understanding this, that it's so important, I really believe that the scales are being balanced. The scales are being balanced, and you sit back and you wait, you say this, you're feeling what's right in your heart, and you're waiting for somebody else to say it. And the truth is they're not going to say it. And then you say it, and they judge you for saying it. But the truth is, if you didn't say it, nobody's going to say it. So the Spirit that's on them is trying to prevent it from being said.
Wow.
But this is the truth. This is the truth that, you know, when you heard Derek Grice on VFN Radio, you know, been there in the church for one particular church gathering for 5 years, and second row back, third row back. I mean, he's not a small man.
Not at all.
A 6'5", 180.
Mm.
380, I don't know. I don't know.
At least 280.
He's a big man. And worshiping God, raising his hands to the Lord, worshiping side by side with the believers that are there. And he's African American, and there's other, I guess, African Americans there, but predominantly, you know, more so white Americans that are there. And so he's walking in the parking lot of the very same church. Been there 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. 5 years. And pacing the parking lot, praying. Can you believe that? Christians praying.
Wow, imagine that.
Pondering his life and what's going on in life. And the one he sits beside for 5 years, right beside now, I'm not talking about somebody in this thing, sits beside for 5 years. Remember, find that interview. I want you to find that interview. And she calls the police on this man in her parking lot saying somebody's looking in our cars. And then you hear Christians today say, I can't believe the president said what he said when he says, listen, you know, prior to me becoming a senator, I heard doors lock and I heard these things happen. And it's like, let's just get real. That just it's happening every day in the context of it. Granted, you know, there's a lot of folks that are doing negative things in the context of their culture, and they're bringing I believe Dr. King would rebuke those individuals who are saying, listen, you are hurting the cause, brother. You need to straighten up. You need to exercise these rights that we fought for. We didn't pay this huge price. My life was not given so that you don't get out and become productive and walk hand in hand and get your character right. Because I told you, and even my own kids, that would be judged not on the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And I say, that's any color of any skin anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That it's character that matters. It's character that matters. And I just want, you know, we're just talking today about, you know, 50 years ago, August 28th, that Dr. King gave a speech that's entitled, quite often now, I Have a Dream speech. And if you missed it, we played part of the speech, but a powerful, powerful, I believe, an apostle, one that began to lead a nation to what's written on the paper. We got more to say, we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made. And he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the... give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about, you know, it's 50 years later since Dr. King gave this speech, I Have a Dream speech, in Washington, D.C. And I was talking about, you know, Mecca Evers in regards to when he went down to help organize and help with the vote. I believe it was in Harvard, not sure. But he heard about the cause and he wanted to go down and begin to help out with. And that's the reason why we just had yesterday, we're talking about the 15th Amendment to the Constitution, because it says not only that, but the Congress has the right to enforce it. So he's going to participate in that. But in regards to the mother wanting everybody to know, that actually was Emmett Till. Emmett Till, when you hear Dr. King talk about an oasis, I mean, think of, oh my goodness, an oasis. An oasis. He calls Mississippi, that he sees his dream is that it will be an oasis, you know, of good things. And you're thinking, my goodness, to be transformed into an oasis of justice.
Wow.
And this is where, you know, Mecca Evers was shot, but it's also where the beginning of the whole civil rights movement really kind of began, you know, history kind of says, where, you know, Emmett Till had a stuttering situation. His mother told him when you begin to stutter, he'd get nervous, he would begin to stutter. And so she told him to whistle. If you whistle, that kind of helps you get through the thing. And so he was in some store, reportedly, and I'm doing my best recall here. And he got nervous in the store, so he began to whistle. And he's an African-American. And these white men in the store began to accuse him of whistling at a white girl. And so they began to provoke him and question him, you know, saying, you know, Are you having any interracial relationships with white women? And he just wouldn't answer them. You know, either if you're a stutterer, like, I mean, you're really nervous now because you can't. And the last thing you want, you know, there's nothing, you know. And they began to beat him. They beat him so bad they broke his cheekbones in. They busted his cheek. This is a man that was in a store, and he was just shopping in a store, and he stuttered, and his mother told him to whistle if he got nervous. And now this racist spirit, this evil devil that's got this is what Dr. King says. And I believe the Mississippi could be transformed into an oasis of justice. And this is what just happened there. This is what just happened there. And they beat him. They tried to get, he said, you tell us. And he, you know, he just didn't communicate to them. And he didn't just throw in the towel either, by the way. This is another man to be admired and just go, dude, what was inside of Emmett Till that stood with all of that coming against him to the end? And then they took him out, reportedly, and they beat him. They beat him beyond recognition, breaking his cheekbones in, his face in. They took a barbed wire and wrapped it around his neck and choked him. They took a cotton mill gin fan, I believe it was. But it had to do, listen, it tied to the cotton industry, which is a whole other thing. Maybe we'll talk about in the extra hour. And they took it, and they, after killing him, they threw his body, and the weight of that fan, cotton mill fan, mind you, threw him into the river where fishermen would find him 2 weeks later. And when they finally found him, and they were going to send his body back to his mother, they put lime in the casket. So by the time the casket got there, then the lime was going to destroy the evidence, because the lime begins to deteriorate the body, begins to speed up the process. Reportedly, that's what it does. So that when the mother sees the body, that Emmett's head came off of the body. Mm. He was just beat. And she was willing to say, I want America to see this. I want America to see what they've done to my son. What they've done to my son. And when she allowed that open casket, when she allowed America to see what had happened, the true America, the America that Dr. King talks about, began to relate to what he was saying. And this is wrong. This is, I mean, that's beyond wrong. I mean, that is satanic. I'm not going to try to go there and describe it. And then things begin to rise up. But look what happened to Emmett Till. And then, and this is the place he's saying be transformed into an oasis of justice. But then you look at this. The two guys were tried in the court system right there. And they let them off. They let them off. This happened over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And you complain. You complain because an African-American challenges you and says, I just need a little bit of proof about this. And so, don't you see why? And if you're a Christian, you want to give them. You want to, like, let's lay this out. Let's be authentic and transparent. We need justice here in the situation. Justice for everybody, not based on the color of our skin, but on the content of our character and our actions. Listen, I'm talking to the church, because the question you would ask yourself today, you would say, well, where was the church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the church, they were burning crosses. Wow. Today they're complaining about people taking down crosses, but at that time they burned crosses in people's yards while they're wearing sheets and hoods. Listen, this is what we're told in the book of Ephesians, and we got to, it's only God that has a grace that can bring a people together. And with America taking God, trying to take God out, well, a lot of people in America trying to take God out of America, brother, you ain't seen nothing. You have not seen nothing. But he says he made the two enemies, the two adversaries, one at the cross. Things can happen at the cross of Jesus that cannot happen anywhere else, no matter what you do, no matter how much money, because it's too painful. Our history is too evil. If you go all the way back to the beginning of time, not in America, the world, it's just evil. Men are evil and men do evil things. But our God can forgive us. And he can restore us and he can heal us and we can begin to trust again. But you know, you can't say, hey, trust me just because. You trust trustworthy people. Mm-hmm. That's who you trust.
Right.
Yeah, you trust trustworthy people. And I think we need to begin to reach out and realize, listen, first of all, you better hold on to those Ten Commandments and you better demand of your leaders that God is going to be in the center of this country. Mm-hmm. Because this is what he says in Ezekiel. This is what he says. He says, if your father sins, and if you take a moment in time and leave YouTube for a moment and quit watching the next live whatever thing and just go back and read history. He says, if your father sins, he'll suffer for his own sins. But if you sin, you'll suffer for his and yours. But if you repent and live right before God, God will not hold your father's sins against you. It's called generational. God just puts a gap between that.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but if you decide to turn away from God, not only will your sins be remembered, but your father's sins. This man you've been criticizing, called your father and your grandfather. Let me tell you something, brother. You turn away from God, not only are you going to have your junk on you, you're going to have the history in the last 230 years on top of you.
Mm.
And it is not pretty. It's Emmett Till ugly of the things that happen. And the only justice for that is, you know, there has to be somebody that pays a price. There has to be somebody that pays a price for this. And the ones who did it walked out of the courtroom.
Mm.
This racist governor that was there, he gave 5,000 days he was in office. 5,000 days. The two African-American young men that were down around the area of Stanford that the sheriff thought he shot them both, but he found out that he didn't shoot them both.
Mm.
The media caught it, and they still put these guys to trial, still put these guys in jail, and they still elected the sheriff till the 1970s he was in office.
Mm.
But if we humble ourselves, you're no better than the next guy. And he's no better than you, but Jesus is better than all of us. We're going to have to begin to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's time to rise up and say, you know what? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. I don't want the sins of my fathers pouring over my life nor your life. It's time for us to humble ourselves, acknowledge that our fathers and that we have sinned. Acknowledge it before God in the world and to say, Lord, here we are. Here we are, Lord God. Forgive us. Transform us. Heal us. Make us into the nation that glorifies your name. Make us into the nation that truly is a city on the hill. Make us into a nation that lives up to what's written on the paper. One nation whose rights come from God. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. We'll be right back. As a matter of fact, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And, of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that, and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
I mean, it's all around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter now. It's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email. An update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this on to this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV and the Daily Radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released. The highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.